Welcome back to Clarity Code to Cash podcast. I am Sergey Ermakov, your host today, and my guest is Lars Manson, who is the lead product manager at Digital Root. And today we will be talking about monetization of usage data that helps businesses to create consumption-based pricing models and give customers flexibility to pay for what they actually use. Lars, good to have you on the show today. I'll let you introduce yourself before we start discussion.
So, hey, thanks, Sergey. Nice to be here on the show. As you were saying, Lars Manson here, running the product management for our cloud-based services here at DigitRoot. We call the platform the usage engine today, which is, as you can hear, about usage data fitting into the quote-to-cash processes and monetization and so forth. You know, I have a background from telecoms industry before joining DigitRoot, where usage subscriptions has been around for a couple of decades, but in a quite complex landscape. So that's a bit where I come from before joining DigitRoot as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So I think that you mentioned telecom, and I think that if we look back into history, I think that the services industries, and especially telecom, have been the industry that initiated all this movement related to the consumption-based pricing models. And if we look back at the history, then we clearly see that even telecoms some time ago, they started with the flat rate pricing for their services. And once the technology has evolved, I think that they have been the ones who has really discovered this model that they could track the usage of the long distance calls and also internet consumption and the roaming and all that kind of stuff that you could charge customer for based on the consumption. So could you share a little bit of your experience from the telecom and the usage-based pricing models there?
I mean, sure. And as you mentioned, it has been kind of going in waves in the telecom business. The flat fees, bundles, packages versus pay-as-you-go models. But there's also been the prepaid models, whereas that has just been consumption-based over the time. So looking at the telecoms industry is interesting because you could actually find most of the models that we talk about today in other industries in different waves. And it's not only been about monetizing usage, it's about driving intelligence based on usage. It's about driving upsell based on usage, moving the customer from one subscription package to another. So you can almost find all the models. You can even find usage-based settlement models because they package a triple play or they package a quad play offering to you. But on the back-end side of that, they actually need to see how you're consuming it because they need to settle costs. They need to do it with partners or between different departments itself. So you can actually plot out almost all the use cases and areas that we talk about as usage-driven now in different industries into what you can see in the telecoms business or have seen in the telecoms industry. So that's kind of fascinating if you go look about it from, two decades and up to now. So to give you a flavor.
Yes, I think that many companies right now basically is taking the same journey. They start with selling subscription services in most cases, with flat monthly fees. And they clearly see that introducing the usage-based type of the pricing, they could achieve definitely much more because they get better understanding, first of all, of the how the services is used by the customer. And what do you think that would be the right moment for the companies that are already starting this journey with the subscription-based services? What would be the right time for them to start thinking about the usage and the usage-based pricing?
It, of course, varies a bit between different industries, but there's a clear trend towards at least a factor of your subscription is going to be based on consumption. Because it entails, for the customer, it's all about, as well, if you're offering a subscription, you need to make the customer renew. You need to make sure that you show continuous value to the customer. If you would just charge that customer a flat fee per month, which does not really relate to how the service has been consumed or used, then you're missing out one of the points, that it does not really provide all the fairness. So if you add the element of fairness, aka usage or consumptions, either on top of your subscription or even on top of your product sales or on top of your service contract, that gives the consumer, the customer, either that's B2B or B2C, an element of fairness again. For the company itself who offers it, it's also relating to the actual value that they are providing. And again, it gives them the upsell opportunities, gives them the capability to renew the customer more easy as well, because it has related to value. You know, it can be anything from number of holes drilled, number of reports run if we talk about software as a service, number of API calls you've done over a month, number of movements of a crane, you know, number of, even we are hearing about models right now, you know, in the health industry or life science industry, you know, like the dentist chair as a service, number of patients that sits in that chair relates to the value that dentist chair has provided to the dentist, the private practicing dentist, over this year. So he can actually subscribe to the chair with an element of pay per use instead of investing millions and millions upfront using or buying that chair, going to the bank and taking out a big mortgage. So you can find so many different use cases that relates nowadays to an element of fairness and consumption.
Yes, the most recent example that I have heard is coming from the company that are painting the pipelines, and so they are charging for the miles of the pipeline that they paint. And so I think that it could be extremely creative and very innovative type of the business models that could be created around the usage and actual consumption.
So
if we look at this these models from your perspective, what would be the right way to monetize usage? What typical company that is thinking of, like, going from the just simple painting into the miles of painting, what would be the typical challenges they face and how they should really monetize this model?
I mean, first of all, there is, I think, and I'm sorry to say, for some enterprises, they do not really know how their customers are using their services today. So how would they be able to build up a pricing model which is relevant to the customer? They need to take a few basic steps first. The nice thing today is that, you know, if we talk about equipment, we have IoT. We have IoT connectivity. We have sensors. We can meter. We can measure so many more things today than you could yesterday. The same thing if you provide a software-based service. You can measure so many clicks and so how a customer is using the software service that you couldn't yesterday, because you used to ship a CD with a piece of software on it that the customer installed themselves. So that whole enablement layer, first of all, needs to be in place, which is the connectivity, which is the metering. And now I'm not talking about adding it as a monetary value. I'm talking about the actual fact of gathering the data. And this is the very first step. And obviously, I might be a bit biased because, you know, DigitRoot, we have the usage engine, we have a platform to collect all these data points. But what I see and what we strongly believe is that once you start to connect and collect this data from the data sources, you should be doing that to be able to, meet the data early. Meet the data as early as possible in this chain of processing. Because if you start to create data silos from the start, that's not good for you, because we do not yet know if we're on that stage by collecting and connecting data exactly how that model will look like. But we do need to take that first step. Ensure that the data is there, accurate, connected, and collected. That's the very basic first step. Our next steps is, and this is again, before considering the actual price model, including the FAIR element of usage, it's really to start to bind the data together, stitch it together, correlate it, aggregate it, and combine it with the products that has been sold, the definition of them, who is the customer account, what hierarchy is the customer in, etc. Put color to that usage data as soon as you have collected it. That's where you can start to gain insights. Yourself as an organization, product manager, pricing manager, to start to gain insight. How is this customer segment using our service? But also customer experience. You can actually communicate and talk to your customers about how they are using the service even before you might put the price model in place with a consumption-based element. Then we talk about monetization of the usage, because it's first then you actually know how the customers are using the service and you have started communicating with the customers and given them the customer experience to tell them how they're using the service. Then you can, with credibility, model your usage-based pricing elements into your offerings. Will you get it right day number one? No, most likely not totally. But can you start iterate on it because you have the right data? Yes, you can. So this is kind of the, at least the three steps to get to this monetization of usage data. Connect and collect, create structure and put relevance to information, provide insights, and then build out your usage-based business models.
Yeah, so I think that we see a lot of good examples from the software, the service world, especially on the platform side, like Amazon Web Services, for example, where you, depending on your usage pattern, you could switch from the lowest price service model to the more expensive when you start using more. So, and I think that we could find a lot of different examples from the businesses who has achieved this already, and big time learn from them on how to properly set up this consumption analysis, consumption patterns, and build pricing based on that.
Absolutely.
Good. So another thing that I wanted to ask you is like that if we're looking at the typical usage-based business models, so we would come up with different use cases around that and also with the different pricing scenarios around these use cases. So would you like have your list of the best preferred consumption-based type of the models that you would like to mention?
Sure. Let's bring up a few examples. And this might not be the most obvious ones because we talked about software as a service,
yes,
which per se can be monetized because you sit on the data, you mentioned AWS, etc. You can see software companies starting to do this more and more. So that's, of course, one thing. But I would like to bring up a couple of other ones. And one of them comes from the manufacturing space. Manufacturing can be so many things, but let's take printers. Let's take the produced printers out there on the market. We have customers now that are transforming the way that they're pricing the printer. They're not selling it as a product anymore. They're selling printing as a service. Number of sheets that has been printed. And what has enabled this? Of course, you can start to meter and measure. So that's the starting point for that. How to make that happen, apart from the business transformation they have to go through. Let's say you're an office, you put up the big expensive printer there. Of course, you can measure how many copies it has printed. But it's more than that, of course. it's about the whole quote to cash landscape that they have built out over the years. And, you know, it has been designed to be product sales, partner and or direct sales, quote the printer, make a sales order, ship it, sign a service contract, and that's it. So what we have helped them with is, of course, the usage-based element to connect and collect that data and monetize it. But they have actually went through a quote-to-cash transformation at the same time as well to very much adjust and change their quote-to-cash landscape together with adding usage as part of their business model. So this is one thing that we're seeing in a lot of industries that has produced physical goods in one way or another in the past life and transformed themselves into an as-a-service sales model, partly or completely. So that's one example that we see. We also see usage being used for some other things than just monetization. So fulfillment of consumables. So we talked about IoT and what that has helped on this journey to have things connected and collected. So one use case that we have, and this is your, actually it's your robotic vacuum cleaner that you might have at home. Some have started to sell that as a service rather than as a product. And it can actually measure how much floor space you have swept. Mm-hmm. So it could be your package. I have this big size of a house or apartment. I'm going to sweep twice a week. And this is the square meters covered. And you have a plan that allows you to use that for that. But they actually use it for another purpose as well. And that's really much for customer satisfaction and ensuring that the customer keeps using the products. They send out replenishment of your brushes, depending on how many square meters you have swept. So you get home new brushes to your robotic vacuum cleaner. So that's another use case, not directly monetized, but indirectly, yes, it is about monetizing the whole subscription offer and the customer experience. And it's using one thing, usage data.
Yes, and I think that, well, in this example, one of the most important things that is related to the consumables is that you are making sure that they are, first of all, delivered on time. This is related to the customer satisfaction. And another most important, very important component of that is that you make sure that you get this constant purchases coming from the customer side, because if, for example, filter is not purchased on time, you are just like losing your sale, and you are losing this volume of consumables that could be delivered to the customers. And I think that this is additional value that is coming to the manufacturer companies who are implementing this type of the business models.
Sure. Can I bring up a third one? Because sure. That as well, because I'm a Swede, there are some car manufacturers or car OEMs around here, as they are in other countries as well. So mobility as a service, whether that is the car OEM or whether it's the truck company that provides a large fleet of trucks, we see some digital services coming along. And they used to be quite a lot of like a flat fee subscription in the past. You know, you get access to some digital services in your connected car, some entertainment, some roadside information. If you own a fleet of trucks, you might have a software application where you can monitor your trucks, get some alarms for maintenance, check the fleet's health, fuel efficiency, etc. They have used to be priced quite flat in the beginning of the subscription era. If you start to add an element of usage to them, and this is what a lot of mobility as a service providers are doing, either they come from the traditional OEM space of manufacturing of cars, buses, or trucks, or they come from another approach. They use usage data nowadays to tell something about mileage-driven and different events that relates to how you're using it. So they start to add a mix and blend of that into their reoccurring offerings, whether that's the service contract for the fleet, whether it's an outcome, how much fuel have you saved, fuel efficiency, if you're a fleet owner, or even in B2C mode, how many kilometers have you driven your car that you subscribe to? So that's the monetized part. But they are also big time into settlements. And again, because they bring in partner ecosystems, not all these services are provided by them themselves. They have resellers, they have partners, there are third-party providers that is part of providing the service. So they need to actually use usage data, again, not just for monetization, but to start to settle between the partners themselves, cost, and revenue. And it's, again, driven out of the same type of data sources, the sources that tells you something about how the service has been used. So again, different purposes, same type of usage data in the beginning.
Yes, and I think in that sense, you could like think about the end-to-end customer experience related to the usage of your core product. Like with this example, with the telematics, I think that by, for example, analyzing where the customer is located at the present moment, business can send kind of the real-time response promotion to the immediate need, for example, refueling the car, or services, or maybe even some food, and stores, whatever you can push to the customer within the car through the infotainment system. I mean, everything could be relevant for the end-to-end customer experience.
Yeah, and again, the fleet owner, what is he interested in? Uptime, for instance. How is his fleet available to be on the roads? You could add an element of that into your service level agreements as well, instead of just paying a flat fee every quarter or every year for your roadside assistance and your availability of the fleet. It's actually accurately going to prove that your fleet was available. Your trucks were available. They did not break down. And again, that's operational usage data that tells you something about that. And that's something you can monetize in your service contracts. So there's a lot of different aspects to this. And, you know, apart from, I keep talking about usage processing, of course, because that's what we do. But we should also talk about the quote-to-cash landscape. And that, Sergey, you know, like, it has implications and, should we say, complexities, but also opportunities to transform the quote-to-cash landscape, because this is a bit different than your traditional product sales.
Yes, I had the conversation with one of your colleagues a while ago, and he's been doing the enablement of our team here at Clarity. And there was one phrase that I keep repeating to my customers all the time. So basically, the data mediation is very simple. It converts the consumption data into the billable item in the billing system. So it brings us to another topic related to the quote to cash. So this is not just the consumption data capturing analysis, but there is much more in the package for companies to be able to build this charge plans and these pricing models and implement them successfully. So I think that we should think about more than just consumption data aggregating and analysis. We should also think about the quoting systems that are enabling this service provision to the customers, about the billing systems that are able to charge based on the data that we receive and according to our rate plans. So yes, another thing aspect that we touched a little bit is the benefit. So it's clearly that customers are getting the better customer experience from the usage-based pricing models, because they are getting exactly what they need and exactly in the amount they need. For the businesses, it gives much more agility and flexibility, and also opportunity to create not just like the service portfolio, but also extend it with the ecosystem. What other benefits would you see as the important ones that we should consider when we're thinking about the usage-based pricing models from both sides, customer and also the company who is moving in that direction?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, again, business value, you could relate it to another item to add to your top line revenue, usage-based revenues. But it's also about the predictability of the services that you provide, because usage gives you insight. How is this service being used over time? You can actually forecast, product plan your pricing models differently as well as forecast and plan your revenues going forward as well, because you know so much more about how the services are being used. Does that relate? Can you relate and link it to your costs when you provide that services? Yes, in a better way, because you can actually combine the two to ensure that you have the right margins on what you're providing. So usage data tells you so much. And also, we touched upon this before, the upsell opportunities that can be driven out of this. Customer experience, you can tell how the user is using the service. That's the foundation to be able to upsell them as well, to tell the customer you have overconsumed or you're about to overconsume, which is even better than say to the customer you have overconsumed. Give them a new offer, a new package. That's again why in this quote to cash landscape, and this is a bit taking a step back, it's relevant, just as you're saying, inject usage into the quote process as well. So your CRM and CPQ processes to make them data-driven. One of the data points is definitely usage. And that's before you're monetizing it as well, to be able to suggest the right packages to the customers. So that's also turned into a business benefit of upsell, and also, by the way, churn prevention.
Sure.
If you see a drop in how a customer is using the service, that might be something wrong. You might not offer the right service to this customer at this time. So you can proactively go in, customer success-wise, and start to talk to your client about this.
Yes, and make sure that your services are continuously getting improved.
Exactly. And again, coming back to the customer and the user benefit is, of course, the fairness of the model. It's a model, it's a pricing model that starts to resonate with them. It's relevant. You're actually being charged for something that has been relevant to how you're using the service. I have a gym subscription. I rarely go to the gym. Will I renew? Or will I leave that gym when it's time to renew it? Have they made some money out of me the last months? For sure. But will I renew? Doubtful, right?
Yes, and from the customer experience perspective, it would be great to get a reminder, right? At least once per week.
Yeah, I get reminded in another way, but hey.
Okay, good. So I think that it's like very valuable points to mention. How would you see this path like going to the journey to usage? How would you describe, what would be the proper steps to take for the companies who are thinking about this, implementing this type of the usage-based subscription services in their companies?
Yeah, so from our perspective, we have this prescribed journey to usage model with the steps. I described a few of them. We have quite a lot more material. We have quite a lot more, obviously, knowledge in the area. We as DigitRoot, we have existed now for 22 years in the market, starting the telecoms industry, moving into enterprises since more than a decade ago. So we built up this model, and it's actually proven to work. So from the DigitRoot perspective, we're happily engaging together with our partners, et cetera, with the customers onto this journey. And I've just picked a few of the points, but would obviously gladly like to discuss those points in more detail as well, and give more customer examples.
Sure. I think that we could even have a separate session and discuss like a lot of customer examples, because like we have many creative good ideas on the market that are still, I think, in the air and waiting to be implemented. Perfect. Lars, I would like to thank you for this conversation. I think that it was very interesting and useful for our listeners. And thank you for being with us. And we would also like to hear from you. So if you enjoyed this conversation and want to share your feedback and suggest something, you are welcome to make your comments. And also, if you are looking to implement the usage-based pricing model, so we are leaving our contacts and you can get to us and have a more detailed discussion and validate your particular case with us. Happy to do it. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sergey.